Jesus said, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." What did he mean by that statement? What is conversion? This is one of the most important teachings in the Bible, because without conversion, religion, prophecy, biblical knowledge, even good deeds have no eternal consequences. Startling statement? Well, these are the headlines, and in a moment we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Have you ever asked yourself, how can God love me? I do so many things wrong, I try and I try, but I'm just so inadequate. Or wrestled with, I think God has given up on me. I haven't taken a drink, or had a problem with pornography, or envy, or greed, or lost control of my temper in months, or even years, but the other day I, and you can fill in the blank. How about, I just don't care anymore. Being a wife or husband is too difficult. Many young people point to the all-too-obvious gap between biblical teachings and many Christians' conduct to claim that religion is irrelevant or even hypocritical. Why is there sometimes such disparity between what we want to be and what we are? To find the answer, let's start at the beginning. When we turn to the Bible as God's revealed knowledge for humanity, we find in Genesis 1, 26 and 27 that mankind was created in the likeness of God. Human beings are created to have a relationship with their Creator. The Bible also tells us in Genesis 2:7 that the first man, Adam, became a living soul. Both the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 18:4 and the New Testament apostle Paul in Romans 6:23 tells us that the soul that sins shall die. When Adam and Eve sinned against God in Eden, they came under Satan's influence. From that point onward, all mankind has been under Satan's destructive guidance, and human nature has developed in the opposite direction of God's nature. Mankind has literally become the enemies of God. Paul writes in Romans 8:7 that the natural human mind is, quote, enmity against God. Now, wait a minute, before you tune out, if you really want to know how to turn your life around, this information is absolutely necessary. It's not just old-time religion. We're talking about the reality of the Creator of the universe and your personal relationship with Him. Cut off from God, subject to the influence of a powerful and evil being who wants to destroy us, and condemned to death because of our very nature, which is corrupted by sin, every human being is in a real sense lost and hopeless. If you have any kind of Christian background, you've been taught that God sent His Son to save us from eternal punishment. This is true. But Jesus Christ does more than that. God wants to heal the sickness in your nature, your thoughts, your desires, your emotions, your values. He wants to change you to reflect His nature. This is the process known as conversion. Listen to what Jesus taught His disciples in Matthew 18:1-3. If you don't have a Bible, get one and follow along. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to Him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven." Contrary to some popular teachings, the Bible reveals that Christian conversion is more than an intellectual acceptance of God's existence. It is more than a belief in Jesus as the Son of God. It is more than proclaiming a certain set of religious teachings. Conversion takes place when a person of their own free will repents of his or her nature and submits to the bonding of God's Spirit to their own mind, so they become partakers of God's nature. Sounds a little far-fetched? Can a human being actually share the love and power of the Creator? The Apostle Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that a real understanding of God, real life change, not just giving your heart to the Lord in a one-time emotional experience, but a real relationship with the Creator is made possible by God giving us His Spirit. Listen to what Paul writes. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, human beings are the only incomplete physical life form on earth. God isn't finished with our development. And as astounding as it may seem, unless we receive a spirit from God, we can never become completed creations. Conversion is a process comparable to the metamorphosis of some insects. One of the most fascinating of all insect metamorphosis is how a caterpillar is transformed into a butterfly. Did you know that a caterpillar's skin can't stretch except when new? As they consume food, their skins quickly stretch to the limit. The only reason they can grow larger is that a new soft skin forms under the old one. After a while, the old skin bursts open and is discarded. The caterpillar continues this process until it gets as large as it can get. Then the process gets really interesting. By creating a small patch of silk, the caterpillar attaches itself to a twig. It sheds its skin and now appears as a totally different insect. This strange sac-like creature is called a pupa. The caterpillar may spend weeks as a pupa, but inside that sac, something marvelous is taking place. The organs of what is once a caterpillar are dissolving and becoming nourishment for a new creature forming inside the sac. When completely developed, the exquisite butterfly emerges from the pupa. Conversion is God's metamorphosis of our minds, emotions, motivations, desires, and actions from the way of the natural man, which the Bible says guarantees death, to the spiritual character of God, which is necessary for eternal life. God isn't interested in just remodeling your character. He wants to replace it with His nature. You see, God wants to change us from mud crawlers into creatures who can fly. In our next segment, we'll be discussing the spiritual process with an author who has written an encouraging and important booklet on this subject, so don't go away.
The word conversion is heard often in religious circles. People commonly speak of their conversion or how they came to be converted. What do these words mean? People can and do change without God's intervention, but not in the same way that conversion is described in the Bible. The process begins with God's calling, followed by the key steps of repentance, baptism, and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, finally climaxing with the return of Jesus Christ, when the dead in Christ are resurrected to immortality and given eternal life. That is the ultimate transformation, being changed from a mortal to an immortal being. Begin your quest for an understanding of this marvelous transformation called conversion directly from God's Word. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled Transforming Your Life, The Process of Conversion. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We've been discussing the concept of Christian conversion. We have with us today on a telephone hookup from San Antonio, Texas, Roger Foster, author of Transforming Your Life, The Process of Conversion. Welcome back to Good News Radio, Roger.
It's always a pleasure to be a guest on your program, Gary.
Now, the word conversion has a number of different meanings. In the biblical sense, what does conversion mean?
Gary, in the Bible, conversion is represented as a miraculous process, a process that is impossible without God's direct, active intervention and participation in our lives. Now, God initiates the conversion process. First, he opens the minds of those he's calling so they can understand the scriptures with a clarity and a depth they could never attain on their own. Then following that, the person must choose whether or not he or she will personally repent. Those who repent are going to receive power that they need. They'll receive God's Spirit, and they'll be able to begin living the way that God intended.
In the first chapter of Transforming Your Life, you make this statement, that if a person is converted, changed, what is he changed from, and what is he changed to? Now, how do you answer that question?
The most important change takes place in the mind. Our minds are, in a sense, wired to our bodies. We have cravings and desires. For instance, we crave food. We have our feelings and desires, sexual desires being an example. All of these desires can be useful if properly managed and controlled. But our fleshly body, or you might say our fleshly nature, provides us with no standards for managing and controlling our natural impulses. Therefore, we desperately need God's guidance and help to properly manage our feelings, thoughts, and desires. God is willing to give us that help, providing we meet certain conditions. Therefore, learning how the Bible defines sin is the first step that we have to take.
Now, you refer to the Christian calling as the conversion process. What do you mean by conversion process?
As I just mentioned, repentance is the first active part we play in this process that we call conversion. But before we can even repent, God must do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus explains this in John 6, verse 44. He says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Then down in verse 65, he repeats much the same thing. He says, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." Therefore, God begins the process of conversion by calling us to repentance. Then we have to respond by repenting of our sins before God will continue the process. If we do repent and are properly baptized, as the Bible teaches, God has promised to give us His Holy Spirit, through which He will begin changing our lives. In effect, He begins converting us into the person He wants us to become. Now, all of this is expressed in Peter's words in Acts 2:38 through 39. And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And that's how the process works.
Now, how does a person get initiated or started into the conversion process?
God begins working with the person, Gary, by granting him or her understanding of the scriptures and of his or her own sinful nature, as we've already seen. Now, this is truly miraculous. In Matthew 13, Jesus gives us a parable of the sower and the seed. The seed represents God's word. And it represents how four different types of people will respond. The various type of soil that this seed falls in represents those people anyway. Now, these different types of soil illustrate four basic types of responses that people will have when they hear God's word preached to them, or when they hear it, or when they read it. The first person simply didn't get the point. He responded like seed falling on a rock would respond. It doesn't respond at all. The next two individuals understood what God was telling them, but refused to respond. One because of the influence of others, the other because he was too enmeshed in pursuing his own lust and interest. Now, the fourth person, on the other hand, accepted God's call and changed. He began to bear the spiritual fruit that God wants to produce in all of us.
Now, there's been an ongoing debate in Christianity for centuries about whether a person must just believe in Jesus as the Son of God in order to obtain salvation, or whether a person is also required to repent. Now, what does the Bible teach? Is repentance required for salvation?
Absolutely, Gary. In Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." The Bible is very clear about this. The problem is, most of us have no idea what real repentance is until we really start studying the Bible. In fact, very few people can tell you what the Bible's definition of sin is. That's why people really need a reliable source of spiritual knowledge. Now, the Apostle Paul explained this. He said in Romans 10, verse 14, "How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" In other words, people need instructors. They need teachers. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul explained that people are called, or invited is what the word means, to act on what they hear by the hearing of the gospel preached by God's true servants. And so this interaction between God's servants and people is very important. People need to have the Bible explained to them. They can't just breathe this vital knowledge out of the air.
God wants us to repent. He wants us to be converted. And He'll give you the power to become more than you can dream. Stick around and find out more about conversion right after this.
The word conversion is heard often in religious circles. People commonly speak of their conversion, or how they came to be converted. People can and do change without God's intervention, but not in the same way that conversion is described in the Bible. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklets titled Transforming Your Life, The Process of Conversion. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy.
We're back with Roger Foster, author of Transforming Your Life, The Process of Conversion. Roger, a person wants to repent. He or she wants to be converted. What do they do next?
Well, the best thing, Gary, that they can do is to obtain and really study some of the literature that you offer on this program pertaining to repentance. That literature thoroughly explains the entire process of conversion and how one can receive the help from God that's so essential for true repentance and conversion to occur. Now, if they don't have a good understanding of God's ways, it's not going to work for them. In other words, if we do not understand what God is really talking about when He speaks of repentance and conversion, we will merely continue doing what seems right in our own eyes. Now, Proverbs 14, verse 12 explains that doing what's right in your own eyes is just going to lead to death. Now, there's another proverb, too, and that's in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and some really good advice is given. I'd like to read it to you. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God."
Now, from the Bible, can we determine what is God's goal in converting human beings? What is the end result of this conversion?
God tells us in Revelation 21:7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now, that's an awesome future, to actually be God's son, inheriting everything that he owns and sharing it with him. That's what he has planned for us. God not only wants to give us eternal life, he also wants to share what he has created with us. But there is a condition. First, we need a change of character. so we can all live together for all eternity in a spirit of love and cooperation. And so the first thing that God has to do is to build his character in those who are going to inherit eternal life. Only then, Jerry, can they really become the children of God for all eternity. If we're not converted, we simply aren't going to be there.
Thank you, Roger, and I hope you'll join us again on Good News Radio.
Anytime, Gary. Thanks for inviting me to join you.
In order to get your free copy of Transforming Your Life, The Process of Conversion, simply call 1-800-966-9232. This booklet will help guide you through what the Bible says about God's plan for your life and your potential. The process of conversion isn't easy. It involves a struggle between our own selfish nature and the new nature being created by the Holy Spirit. True conversion isn't a simple matter of accepting a certain religious teaching or doing good deeds. True conversion is the sometimes painful, sometimes exhilarating commitment to the struggle of allowing God to create in us a brand new person. How then do we explain when Christians sin, when we struggle with an old habit and slip? Understand, since conversion is a process, Christians are on various stages of the spiritual metamorphosis of having their human nature changed into godly nature. All Christians wrestle with sin. All Christians from time to time return to selfish ways. The Apostle John writes about this subject in 1 John 1:8. He says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." We can take comfort in knowing that as long as we are willing to repent and submit to God, he will complete the work that he has begun. It's true that God doesn't condone sin, and unrepentant sinners will receive eternal judgment. But how does God look at a Christian who has received his Spirit, someone who is struggling with sin and sometimes loses the battle with their old nature? God's viewpoint can be best illustrated by this story. In September 1924, a stout, robust man of 60 years was spending many hours hiking the rugged area around the Harney Range of South Dakota. He searched the crest of every mountain peak, looking for something. Some people thought this man's dream was a bit unrealistic. There was a great deal of doubt about how the project would be funded. Others were against the project because they thought it was a desecration of God's creation. But this man was driven by a dream that filled him with one purpose. Where other people saw ragged crags and inhospitable rocks, this man saw faces. His son, Lincoln, wrote about what it was like when his father found and chose a remote mountain as a place to complete his dream. "This was the monolith my father had been searching for, a gigantic mountain of solid granite, towering above the surrounding peaks and well separated from them. Most important, the major face of the rock was to the southwest, an aspect essential for maximum sunlight during the daylight hours. As he talked in that positive, mesmerizing way of his, I began to see in the great peak the colossal mountain sculpture he would create there. You see, where other people saw rocks, Gutzon Borglum saw the faces of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, and Abraham Lincoln. It took years of hard, sometimes seemingly impossible work to complete the project. Dynamite had to be used to sculpt the peak into general shapes. Hundreds of men, sweating in the summer heat and freezing in winter, were driven by the will of one man and shaped Mount Rushmore into one of the greatest feats of sculpture accomplished in history. God's creation is driven by one dream. The return of Jesus Christ and the final step in the process, the changing of the saints into spirit, when they will finally see God face to face. When you and I look into the spiritual mirror, sometimes all we can see are the rocks, the unsightly cracks, the outcroppings that make us so imperfect. What God sees is the emerging faces of his children. If you would like to comment on today's program, you can contact Good News Radio on the Internet by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
The word conversion is heard often in religious circles. People commonly speak of their conversion or how they came to be converted. What do these words mean? People can and do change without God's intervention. but not in the same way that conversion is described in the Bible. The process begins with God's calling, followed by the key steps of repentance, baptism, and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, finally climaxing with the return of Jesus Christ, when the dead in Christ are resurrected to immortality and given eternal life. That is the ultimate transformation, being changed from a mortal to an immortal being. Begin your quest for an understanding of this marvelous transformation called conversion directly from God's Word. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled Transforming Your Life, The Process of Conversion. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.